Obviously, this is going to be the last in our series on Christian marriage, lived out of the grace of God. And as I promised last time, we would be taking a look at what a wife may do. Last time we took a look at the actual relationship with her husband, being an imitation of Christ to the church to Christ. But now we just want to have a little bit more of a look in terms of seeing what is involved in terms of the use of her gifts that the Lord has given to her. And I think it's quite relevant still in today's society. We still have this huge debate going on, don't we, about the role of women, not only in the church, let alone the home, but especially in society. And we see that in all sorts of ways. You still get reference to the glass ceiling. Anyone know what that means? What's the glass ceiling? Yeah? It's a reference to business, that women aren't able to break through that ceiling to get into the boardrooms. You hear it a fair bit if you watch different commentating shows, politics, whatever else. They're always referring to the fact that women are not properly represented according to the population or the percentage of the population they are. They're not being represented in the boardrooms of the most powerful businesses, etc., in the world, let alone Australia. And you also hear, too, with regard to government, let alone the opposition, politically, with regard to whether they need quotas to ensure that there's a proper representation of women in Parliament. And much was made recently when the new Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, appointed so many women to the front bench. It was such a remarkable thing that after all the usual photos were taken of the new cabinet, that there was a special photo taken of him just with all the women in the cabinet. And that became the main photo, simply because of this continuing issue of women's place and whether it's just in the home or should they be more represented in terms of positions of power and business. And so it's good for us to take a look at what the scripture says on this subject. And so Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, "A wife of noble character, who can find?" And that question seems to be a little bit mischievous at first, because it seems to suggest that they're rare. Who can find a woman of noble character? The aim of Scripture here isn't to talk about how scarce they are. The emphasis here, what the writer is trying to get to, is how precious they are. And of course, the more rare something is, the more precious it is. But it's the idea of preciousness that the writer is wanting to get to. A woman of noble character is a very precious person indeed, and we're going to see how precious indeed she is. So when we take a look at what Scripture says about this woman of noble character, what's the first thing we find in Proverbs 31? And as I get underway with Proverbs 31, let's make something clear. There's no way that this is one woman. If you take a look at what this woman does in Proverbs 31, she'd never sleep. Okay? It's just going through what a woman of noble character would be involved in. But if you were to put this all into one person and see at what hours she works and what she achieves, this is a woman that would never sleep. All right? But it's just pulling everything together into one person as were to give us a lesson. And when you take a look at it, it's interesting that the first emphasis is her place in the home. Her household is her first and primary focus. It says she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Well, that's certainly true from what you take a look, as I just said. She watches over the affairs of her household. That's her first concern. And when you go through it, you'll see indeed to what extent she does watch over the affairs of her household. In verse 13, we find that she works with her hands in delight, doing the most menial of tasks. Note that she doesn't do it because she has to, because she's the wife. She does it with delight. It's a joy for her to serve the household in this way. In verses 14 and 15, she makes sure the cupboard is adequately stocked with food, so that what her family needs for their provisions, they have. Also, when you go to verse 21, her family is suitably clothed. fact, not just suitably clothed, they're clothed in scarlet and purple, which were the garments of the rich back in those days. And note that they're suitably clothed with things that she's made herself. Okay, this is the work of her hands. And then also in verse 27, she's not idle but always busy. So there's no getting away from the fact that her focus on the household is indeed a primary focus. This is the woman of noble character according to Scripture. Forget about what the world says. Forget about Woman's Weekly and Woman's Day and Reader's Digest. This is what God says in His Word. This is where the focus should be. Now, there are those who say, yeah, that's the Old Testament. That's patriarchal days when men were in control. Things are changing now. You know, surely when Jesus came, that changed. But did it? When you take a look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, you find that it mirrors beautifully what you find in Proverbs. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, we read the attributes of a godly woman to be as follows. She's well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. See how that's reflective of what you find in Proverbs? Known for her good deeds, such as bringing up her children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints. And then when you go to Titus 2, the verses 3 to 5, we read of them that they have a job to do in terms of the next generation of women. It says they can train the younger women to do what? To love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So if anything, the New Testament teaching underlines the Old Testament teaching. Certainly doesn't say, well, that's all done and dusted, everything's changed now. In the church, the focus of the woman who is of noble character according to Scripture remains her household. Now that's possibly rankling a few. But the thing is, that's also true for the husband. If you listen carefully to the previous sermon, the first sermon in this series with regard to the role of husband, the husband's role is such that not only is he the head of the household, etc., but his focus, even though his work takes him out of the home, his focus, his primary responsibility is his household. So in that, the wife is no different than the husband. She carries out that role differently. But the fact that the household has to be the focus, the primary focus, is true for him. How do we know that? Well, when you take a look at the passage in 1 Timothy 3, 4 to 5, where it talks about the qualifications for a man to be an elder in the church, what does it say? He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? But here's the reality. Husbands and wives are equal. We've already found that out. They have different roles, however. The husband has this role in terms of his leadership in the relationship, and he'll be held accountable by God how things go in the home. But they both have this responsibility before God that their chief focus must be the household. The husband's chief focus is not to be his career or his work or his sport or whatever else. His chief focus has to be his home. Whatever he does has to be for the household and the management of his household. Likewise, his wife. And I think we would all agree that when you take a look at society today, that's what you see has broken down. The lack of respect for teachers. I'd hate to be a teacher today. In my day, if I got in trouble at school, my parents would never side with me. Straight away, the teacher would get the benefit of the doubt. If they had any concern, they would go to the teacher and ask, not to abuse the teacher and not to threaten the teacher, but to get their side of the story. But usually they didn't do that. They just assumed I was in the wrong and I copped it at home. So usually I didn't say anything to mum and dad when I went home if I got in trouble at school. Okay? You don't have that respect for teachers today in so many ways, either from the children or from their parents. The same lack of authority respect for authority with regard to police and government. Okay, you find it broadly through the community. And I think part of the problem is, according to what Scripture shows us, is that the attention to the home by both parents isn't the focus in so much of the world. And the world is suffering on account of it. So that's the first thing that Scripture shows with regard to where the wife of noble character has her focus. So first of all, she loves and serves the Lord in her home. But that raises the question, is that to be the only place where she does that? You get a lot of people in the church, even outside the church today, who say, yes, the wife's place is in the home. There are people who will argue black and blue today that indeed women in the workforce should not be there. They should be in the home looking after the children. Okay? What does Scripture say? We want to hear what God has to say. I think if you go back to a series we did in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, we already know that God has gifted every member of the church with gifts to be used in the church. Everyone has a spiritual gift who's a member of the body of Christ. It can be a musical gift, it can be a leadership gift, it can be an administration gift, it can be a technical gift, whatever, teaching gift. But everyone, Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, has received a gift from God to be able to be used, not in the home, but in the church. And that includes women. Okay? So women have their place in the home, but they also have their place in the church. They have a role to play with gifts that God's given there. But we also want to see that the woman who's of noble character, according to Proverbs 31, is also the woman who can serve the Lord in the marketplace. In other words, in the business world, either as an employee or an owner of a business. A lot of people have difficulty with this, but the reality is, even in the Old Testament, this is taught. And then when you take a look at Proverbs 30, the wife of noble character, what do we find? She enters into real estate and she buys a field. This is not her husband. This is the wife. Hey, husbands, if your wife has that gift, get her to looking into real estate. This is what this wife did. She looked into it. She saw something that was worthwhile buying. She went ahead and she bought it. Okay? And what did she do? From what she earned, she planted a vineyard. Okay? So she develops. She doesn't just buy property, but she develops property. She planted a vineyard. And then besides that, we take a look in verse 24. She's an active trader, selling works of her hands to merchants. So she makes stuff, and then she sells it to others to sell on to others still. And then out of the proceeds of all this money that she earns, she's active in providing from her earnings gifts to the poor and to the needy. In the Old Testament, this is a wife in Scripture being extolled. This is a wife to be praised. This is a wife to have. A wife who knows Christ, serves Christ, loves Christ in the home, in the church, and also in the marketplace, if that's where the Lord leads her. Of course, that's important to note. Doesn't mean this is for every wife. It's according to where the Lord leads a particular person, just as it is for the men. Some will only be in the home. Some will be in home and marketplace. Some will be involved in home and just church. You see where this is going. Again, in the New Testament, we find that this isn't unknown. In Acts 16, 14 to 15, we read of Paul going to a place of prayer beside a river where he's going to preach the gospel. And we read the following in Acts 16, 14 to 15. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. A dealer in purple cloth and linen. In other words, she was high-end market. Again, purple cloth and linen was for the rich. And she was manufacturing this, and she was selling it. That was her business. And what do we see her doing as she becomes a believer? We have no reason to believe that this would change for her according to Proverbs. But we straight away we see her exercising what we read in those New Testament passages about showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints. She insists, note that, she persuaded us to go to her house. And note the reference is to her house, not to her husband's house. "Come to my house," she says. Okay? And she shows then this gift of hospitality, as I said, that's mentioned in the New Testament. So when you take a look at what it says in Proverbs and what it says here in Acts, what it says also in those passages in Titus and Timothy, we find that the focus of this woman of noble character is not herself. See, so much of the feminist movement today and women's place in society and especially in politics and business is for herself, to raise herself up. In many cases, I've heard it said so that she can become financially more secure by being financially independent of her husband. Okay? All that's wrong. For the husband, it shouldn't be like that. The husband shouldn't go to work and make all this money and whatever else for himself. It should be for his wife first and for his family. Okay? And then from the overflow of that to the church. For the kingdom, that's where the tithing comes in. But his first responsibility is his wife and his family. And likewise for the wife. Selflessness. Service. And that's exactly what you find in Lydia. It's what you find in Proverbs with regard to her looking after the poor and the needy. It's exactly what you find in the requirements, what you find in Titus and Timothy. And you wouldn't expect anything different. Now, obviously, Christ isn't there in Proverbs 30, but in the New Testament, he is. And for the New Testament woman, which includes the women of today, this living out of the relationship with God in Christ means they take his example to follow. And his life was one of selflessness, one of service, one of giving. And, of course, the greatest example of that is his death on the cross. She is a daughter of Christ. And as a daughter of Christ, she models Christ in the use of her gifts in the home, in the church, and in the marketplace. And so when you go on in Scripture and we take a look at 1 Peter 3, we find that this woman of noble character is beautiful not because of her outward adornment, not because of her good looks. As one commentator pointed out, all these wither and flee away as time goes on. Okay? The beauty that God sees in a woman has got nothing to do with appearances. It has to do with what's in the heart. It has to do with character. And it especially has to do with her relationship to himself. When you take a look at Scripture, what we find already in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30 is, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but what doesn't disappear is a woman who has this special relationship with the Lord. The fear here isn't the Alfred Hitchcock type fear, the horror, you know. It's respect. It's adoration for the Lord. And of course, again, in the New Testament, you find that this is even more so when she understands what this God has done for her in giving up his only son for her. How much easier to respect and love the Lord when we know that Jesus came and died for us. That's just as true for the women as it is for the men. You know, we've sung a few hymns today that talk about out of that relationship with God, no matter what comes to us in life, we can be calm, we can be controlled, we can be at ease. And you find that now also in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 6:20. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. This is a woman connected to the Lord. Also in verse 20 in Proverbs we read, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So it's not only the father that's got the teaching role and to whom the children should listen. Equally, they should listen to their mother's teaching and they should not forsake it. Scripture has a very, very prominent place for women in the home, in the church, and also in society. Where do you find such a woman? Especially the guys who aren't married yet. Where do you find this sort of wife? Well, Scripture tells us, it gives us the answer. In Proverbs 19:14, it says, "Houses and wealth you get from your parents." Don't tell your parents that. You inherit those sorts of things. At least you did in those days. These days you tend to get them before your parents pass away, you buy your own. In those days you inherited wealth and housing from parents. But one thing your parents can't provide that only God can provide. What does it say? "Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." A prudent wife is from the Lord. To the guys who aren't married and you want to find such a wife, my advice from Scripture is turn to God. Ask Him for patience. Ask Him to lead you to look in the right quarters, like you're not necessarily going to find such a wife in a pub. You're more likely to find her in a church. And sometimes you can ask God to lead you to such a wife, but be going to all the wrong places. No need to ask God, why can I find her? Okay? So you need to ask God to lead you to the right places and to the right person, and not the person of your choice, but the person that God would have you marry. May not be entirely evident at first because you might be going mainly by looks. And for those who are married, understand the freedom that your wife has in Scripture to be the person that God made her to be. Not that you want her to be, that God made her to be. And the woman that she is to be for Him, not for you, but for Him, will be seen in the gifts that He's given her. Gifts to be used at home, gifts to be used at church, and if God so wills, gifts to be used in the marketplace. And as she uses all of these gifts, the reason that she wants to use them in the way that Scripture says she should is because she loves the Lord. And because of what He's done for her, she wants to give her life to Him in the best way that she can. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and we give You thanks for the wisdom of Your word, a word ever relevant, even with the questions of today. And we acknowledge that our world is in such a mess because men and women, husbands and wives, so often do not make their homes and especially their children their focus. And Lord, we pray indeed that especially in Your church that we learn this lesson. And that husbands and wives understand that their primary responsibility, apart from nurturing and encouraging each other, submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ, their primary responsibility after that is to nurture and care for their children, to bring them up in Your ways, which includes then having respect and love for those in authority. And so, Lord, we pray that as Your church, that we may be salt and light in a very dark world. That we might model how these relationships between husband and wife should work and how they bear beautiful fruit in the household with children. And so, Lord, we ask that this too, that is our families and our marriages, may be a witness to Jesus. that people would see how we live and would have then a burning desire to have a life and a family just like that, and come to understand that the reason for our life and our family is because of its foundation in our relationship with Jesus. Hear our prayer then, Lord, we ask, not because we're worthy of it, but for Jesus' sake and for the sake of your glory. In his name we pray. Amen.